So we pray, Heavenly Father, we realize in singing this chorus the way we believe that has really been taught to us at the end time by revelation, by vindication, you are really here, and we appreciate that, but we don't appreciate it near enough. We know that it should bring forth a sobriety that we are not seemingly available of at this time to produce a sincerity, Lord, and all those things which would really bring forth the fact that we are those living epistles read and known of all men, not that we are interested in great exploits and great feats. We know that that has already been accomplished, vindicating the word, but we are interested in just being that living word, Lord. And we know that we have to have guidelines, understanding, and we have to have doctrine, all those things that are so necessary. And we pray we may have it, Lord, today through the living word of God and living souls that have been brought back, reborn by the Holy Spirit. We do not covet that, Lord, which we are not supposed to covet. And we do not wish to take anybody's place, Lord, or anybody's places from them. But we know at the end time there are just a very limited number who will go into the rapture, Lord. We understand that, as it was in the days of Noah, 8 souls were saved. And help us, Lord, to realize that there's something to press into, something real. And as Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we'll not stand in their way. So help us to be serious this morning, Lord, as we look into your word, whatever, which way it takes us. But may it be for edification, actual growth of the inner man, and particularly knowing the outer man is well taken care of, at least by virtue of the fact of the resurrection coming, and that very shortly. And pray, Lord, that people's hearts may be blessed today, burdens lifted, and grace abound. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're sort of going to continue to look at questions and try to bring you their answers the best we possibly can from what Brother Branham taught us, knowing that we have at the end time heard a man that was vindicated. I realize in the light of the fact that the former rain, which is the teaching rain, came at a time of the latter rain, which is the manifestation of the Word of God in power, but not necessarily in revelation, that many people, particularly the charismatic, were entirely drawn away from the fact that there was definitely a prophet according to the Bible at the end time. We know that that was according to Deuteronomy, the chapter 18, and also according to the book of Luke, the first chapter, where Luke is teaching that Jesus actually accomplished something he did. The Bible said he both began to do and to teach. And before any prophet was ever given a word of God, there's has to be a vindication of God to the prophet, and then God has to vindicate the prophet to the people so that they know that this is indeed the Word of God. Now, man does not like to put himself in a bind. If there's anything man likes to do, is to wiggle out of a contract. We see that in marriages all over the country. They swear before God, love, honor, and everything else, and the first thing they're wiggling way out. Companies deliberately draw up contracts so they can wiggle out. And everything you see is double-tongued, and it's completely fallacious. Now, you cannot deal with God on the grounds of being a tongue-in-cheek co-signer of an oath, because God will not allow you to take back your oath. Now you say, well, now I never had a part in that oath. When God came down upon Mount Sinai, when God spoke in thunder and lightnings and manifested his tremendous power, and terror was struck into the hearts of mankind, so that the people said, now, Moses, I tell you what. We have no interest in seeing God, per se. We have no interest in hearing God, per se. We have no interest in dealing with God, per se. So how about you going to God and striking a bargain? The bargain is this. You will talk to Moses, and Moses will talk to us. So Moses went to God, and God said, that's great. That's exactly the way I'll do it. From now on, there will be no one who has a private revelation. From now on, no church will have a legitimate understanding. From now on, I'm completely veiled except when I come in and through a prophet. And the earmarks of a prophet are, thus saith the Lord, before he opens his mouth and says anything, he must establish himself as one who is thoroughly vindicated and authenticated by God by what he does. And Moses was that person. He had already been vindicated, authenticated. But now the bargain is struck. And man says, I don't like that bargain. Well, I'm sorry for you. Tell that to the IRS. Well, I know enough about the IRS. Bless God, I want to tell you they're illegal. Ha! Tell it to the judge. Try to get out of prison when they throw you in. Why is it people always want to be so stupid when it comes to authority? See, now the authority is God, sovereign, almighty God. His word stands when he entered into the bargain. And he said, yes, this is exactly what will be done. It will even be done when the prophet I raise up, which is Messiah. And Jesus came on the scene and said, why don't you believe me? Don't you know the works that I do and nobody can do? It is the Father in me. You are listening to the ultimate prophet and thereby judge. Now these people, absolutely, their forefathers, and they call themselves the holy people. The Jews still try to con God into believing that they're the holy people, and there's only 144,000 in the end time, but all the millions of Jews, 144,000. That's all. They turned down the prophet Messiah that God gave them for salvation. They turned down the works because the works vindicated the words of Jesus, and they hated the words of Jesus. Now, what's wrong with people? Let's go to the book of John a second here. And in the third chapter, we know that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, the one-of-a-kind Son, the only one-of-a-kind, that particular caliber, that even before he died upon the cross, in Matthew 16, Jesus was taken up with the three disciples to a high mountain, apart from the rest, and there he was completely shown in glory, in a glorified condition. And God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. And as the Son, and being the first begotten, he was absolutely joint heir with the Father, so he owned 50% of the business. That's right. And when the time come for glorification, being the Son that was trusted and completely worthy, his name was on the checkbook, so therefore he had the full contents of what lay in the checkbook. And when he said, all power in heaven is given unto me, that's exactly true. He was heir to it. He could do what he wanted with it. You say, well, he could have defrauded the Father. Oh, yeah, many a kid does that when the old man is foolish enough to put his father puts the name on the checkbook. Kid writes a big check and poor old, hey, that happened in Tucson. Guy trusted his boy in business. And the boy took everything. Jesus is not that kind of a boy. Amen. Fully trustworthy. Paid the price and knew he could handle everything. He had experience way back in the beginning when he came forth from God. Now, that doesn't make him God the Son. That's the Son of God. Get your wires crossed up this late in the day, believing in three gods, this and that and the other thing. So, all right. We're looking at John here, this only begotten one, that the that believe in him should not perish. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's exactly true. But that the world through him might be saved. Doesn't say it's going to be saved, might be saved. And you're talking about cosmos there, not the creation. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now watch what it says here. He hasn't believed in the name. And watch the next verse. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men having loved darkness rather light, because their deeds were evil. Now what you're looking at here absolutely completely is the association of the name of the Son of God with light, which is revelation. Because the Bible says that which maketh manifest is light. And the manifestation that God sets forth in his word is concerning a prophet. This is I myself speaking through and in this prophet. This is what is here. And you'll notice here that the people turn it down. Now who was the one who turned it down? Organized Jewry. They have made void the commandments of God and the word of God by tradition. That means every promise in the book is void if you don't have the correct and proper understanding of it. So therefore, people in the world today don't understand the appearing, and they think they do, and they won't listen when God sends a messenger, vindicated a prophet. They will miss the rapture. That is why 8 souls only make the ark. Well, you do what you want about it. You say, man, you're tough. Yes, I am tough. God got to hang in just where my preaching is. It's live, die, sink or swim, heaven or hell. What I'm preaching to Lee Vale this morning. You do what you want. Because I'm not your keeper. I can't go to your homes and back you over the head. I can't take you in my home and back you over the head. What good to do if I batted you over the head? See? You're like the guy that he that's persuaded against his own will is of the same opinion still. Coercion won't do it. See, this is love that people don't understand. God manifesting himself is love. Then if you put your finger in the meat grinder, don't blame God if your finger's taken off. You hear what I'm saying? Understand what I'm saying? If God sends a vindicated prophet, that's the whole thing. Now, that's why we try to answer every question according to what Brother Branham taught, because he was vindicated, and that is a scientific picture. Absolutely, by George J. Lacey, the head of the FBI in documents and photography, absolutely showed that the light struck the camera. And he positively said this will go down in history as the only authentic evidence of a supernatural being. The light isn't the supernatural being. That's what covered the God that was there. So just a minute, how can God do these things? God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, any way he wants it, and it's in the Bible. Remember the time Elijah went up the mountain? And there was a whirlwind went up the mountain. The rocks just spewed every which way. That happened to Brother Branham up there in the wasn't Sabine again, so in the Wilcox area out there. the actual like a tornadic effect came, and the wind was so strong it drilled right in the rocks, and people saw men with them, maybe a dozen men or more. Rock just threw, was thrown out, spewed out like at a great electric drilled into the mountain. And every one of those rocks was pyramid-shaped. I've got one now at home. Absolute pyramid-shaped. Oh, that doesn't mean a thing. Well, certainly it doesn't mean a thing to you. See, you don't believe God. You don't even believe nature. Bush has got a great quandary. Shall we lose jobs or the spotted owl? You can always create jobs, but you can't create spotted owls. Man has become the authority to dispose God and his creation. And you wonder why we're in a mess today, 100% mess. People will not listen because their eyes and their ears are gross. They're blind and they will not see. It's not that they can't see, they won't see. They don't want to see. So Israel brought its creeds and its dogmas before Almighty God. They love their darkness. What is that darkness? When your light becomes darkness, how great is your darkness? And what was the light they had? The light was the original Word of God that they agreed to, that the prophet would be the one that you listened to. God was in that man. Now, what if a prophet came on the scene today? You think the Catholics and Protestants will listen? Ha, ha, ha. Not when they got a pope and they got district presbyters. No way, shape, and form. This church is unique. We listen to what God said through a prophet. I don't claim we have all the answers. I don't claim to know everything he said. I would never tell you that. There's a question right here. Ask me. I haven't got a clue. Just tell you flat. See? But this is why we answer questions from Brother Branham taught. And he becomes our sole authority for this hour. You say, what about other hours? What do you care about other hours? I'm not living back in the time of Joshua. I'm not living back in the time of John the Baptist. I'm not living back in any other time. What is the word for this hour? Don't you know this book is prophetic? It's been grown like a stalk of wheat from the ground, the seed sown, and now it's harvest time? I want to know what's for my hour. Nehemiah's fine, Ezra's fine, they're all fine, but don't give them to me. I want to know it's for this hour. The hour that Adam missed by a perverted word, when he should have been in that garden thousands of years under ideal conditions until God changed the scenario. Now it's changed, he's going to be immortal. And so he runs to the tree of life, but he won't get there. The cherubim with the flaming sword would cut his hand off or cut him down. No way. You blew it. Now it's time for the tree of life to return. Last chapter of Revelation. Are we in that hour? If we're not in that hour, what's Israel doing back in the homeland? Why, we got a religious war facing us. You think the last battle of Armageddon is not religious? I got news for you, it is. Why do you think there's the trouble in Yugoslavia? Before the papers dared to come out and tell the barefaced truth, article after article, I told you it was a religious war. And it is a religious war. The Catholics and Protestants are trying to destroy the Muslims. You think it's not a religious war? I got news for you, it is. The whole thing is religion. And Christianity, so-called, has the sword, which is the sword that will cause them to even put an Antichrist on the throne of Almighty God. They'll come against Israel. I've told you already, what do you think for 1 minute that America will not rise against the Jews when the Arabs were increasing the cost of oil and Israel was having its problems, we were having our problems? What is it? The oil companies put big ads in the paper and were trying to influence the whole of America to turn on the Jews. And Brother Branham said, America will turn on the Jews. And what are they going to do? Do you think they'll do less than Hitler? Kind, sweet, gentle Bush. What's his record? He's not Reagan. He's not truly sympathetic with the Jews. But my point is this. Who needs to be? Just understand your Bible. Get in touch with Almighty God if there's been a vindicated prophet. Find what he says about you and me in the world conditions. And avoid the world conditions. Say, well, just a minute, shall I buy gold? You don't need to worry about buying gold, kid. If you bought a ton of it, they'd take it away from you tomorrow morning if they just wanted to do it. It's a matter of completely trusting Almighty God and coming to the faith, which I've been talking about, is for the end time. The revealed word of Almighty God. And people simply do not want it. They say, well, it's what you see. You understand exactly what I started with. In the time of the latter rain, which means the visible power of God manifested, there will come a teaching rain where the word gets returned to the former true revelation, as Paul the Apostle said. When he said, this gospel I'm teaching you is what saves you at the end time. But if you've drifted from the gospel of Paul and you don't have a clue to the revelation, then you must have somebody in the caliber of the apostle Paul to tell you what Paul meant, what God meant. That's the whole thing. Well, this is where we come from. When we talk about answering questions concerning what Brother Branham said, or sometimes what he didn't say, and we just try to go by what Brother Branham said. And people have a lot of questions, and some of those questions are very, very interesting, and some are not so interesting on the grounds that by now there should be a very, very thorough understanding of certain areas in the Word of God that they have been privy to and heard Brother Branham speak of so many, many times, perhaps not in actual sermons devoted to a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 point, but the reference were there as was necessary in the doctrine as he taught it. Now remember, if Brother Branham thoroughly taught one doctrine, he taught it all. There's no way you can study the subject of justification and not study the whole Bible and get it all. There's no way you can study the understanding of sanctification, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, any doctrine, rebirth, whatever you want to call it. There is no way that you will not end up having to look into everything that lies in the heart of the Word of God, where you see the Word of God come together in a perfect delineation, a perfect revelation structure. You simply can't do it, brother and sister. The Word of God's like a pie. You see, it's round and it's got a central point, and Christ is the centrality. And no matter what you do, it's all got a point toward Him. God by Christ Jesus created the world. God by Christ Jesus saves the world. God by Christ Jesus mediates, intercedes. You can't do it. So no matter what you're looking at in that word, you look into a doctrine, whatever you call it, the sevenologies of the Greek, who cares what the Greek says or the students say? I don't care how you divide it. You're simply going to come up with the truth. You touch one, you will touch it all. Now, let's face it. The whole Christian revelation has been marred by error. And all it takes is one man of God vindicated to correct the error, and you have a perfect exposition, delineation, declaration of the Word of Almighty God. And Brother Branham categorically told us, and I believe with all my heart, that all the errors were corrected. And we stand today with the perfect understanding of what Paul gave for us at the end time, though he spoke it in the beginning. Now, in case you don't have your Bibles, which some of you don't, I want to take you to the book of Thessalonians, the second book, in the first chapter. And it says here, where Paul is speaking concerning the saints enduring with their love, through persecution, tribulation, which they endure. And he said, this is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. He's telling you right there that you will pay a price. And that price is suffering at the hands of people who will not believe you, who do not want to fellowship with you, fellowship you on your revelation. And they will turn on you the same as Cain turned on Abel. And he said, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And notice he said, they will be heaping it on you, and God's going to heap it right back on them. He said, it's a dangerous thing to fool with God's children. And you are troubled, rest with us. Now he's telling you, relax. You that are troubled, relax. When? He says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with these mighty angels and flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. Now, right away, because those two verses are interpolated, and they have to go hand in hand with the other verses, which I will read shortly. And this is taken from the understanding of the two vines, the blessing and the cursing, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. There is no place in the Word of God that you come upon blessing, you will not find cursing. And no place you find cursing, you will not find blessing. The same as God has a left hand and a right hand. You cannot get away. Try as you will, you won't do it. Now just obliterate those two verses I read. In flaming fire, taking vengeance, and so on. Watch what it says. And you that are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in him with these mighty angels, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. What day? The day when he comes with his mighty messengers. People just look at him and go, And when you go, you're stuck. So you just pass it on. Pass it on. What is a mechanic? How do you feel when the mechanic goes, to your car? And he's got the gall to send you a bill that almost buy a new engine? You like that, don't you? You love mechanics that go, Yeah. You love people that go, Cost you money. It's cost you your life. Just read it the way it is. Don't throw it out the window and put it someplace. Put it where it says. You were troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in heaven, these mighty angels. That rest doesn't come until a certain period. When he shall have come to be glorified in these saints and be admired and all them believe. Why? Because our testimony among you is believed in that day. The day at the end time is contingent upon knowing what Paul said. So I just can't believe that. You don't have to believe it. Why bother? You're not a believer in the first place. Maybe a make-believer. So you're talking about something I don't have to agree with. Certainly you don't have to agree with, because you don't believe in prophets and vindication. You don't believe the Word of God. So I didn't make that bargain way back. That was the Jews. Then why do you read the Jewish book? I don't see any vindication for Isaiah. He better have it. I don't see any vindication about Amos. He had better have it. Because if you throw away the law of the prophet, where God speaks to people to give you what he wants from his heart and his mind, you throw away everything. You do what you want, children. Look, hey. There's too big a crowd here this morning to fit in the ark. I'm not trying to put anybody. I'm just trying to tell you something. I'm believing I'll be out of here before the flood comes. I'm old enough to die. So none of you folk try to beat me to it. I've got dibbies. I want the best of both sides. Why shouldn't I want it? If I was in God's thoughts, brother, sister, before the foundation of the world, there ain't going to be no way I'm going to be out of these thoughts in the New Jerusalem. Don't understand people very much. But anyway, we're looking at this here. We believe in a vindicated prophet. And you know, that prophet could be us. In many ways, he could be a very naughty person. Like David. See, people all the time set their own standards. Forget your standards and go to what God said. A vindicated man. Well, Joe Smith vindicated hogwash. He came offering the men the bait of polygamy. And if you're just a sensual, sexual-minded man, certainly that's right. Hey, that's the religion I want. You don't have to be a Mormon to have many women. It's all over the Protestants and Catholics everywhere. The Mormons just organized it. They haven't put a red light in front of their temple, but they might as well have done it. That's what they are. Tell the truth. Or they like to blame the Methodists for hanging up old Joe. So the Methodists hung him up because he didn't like his religion. I understood he stole their horses. I know. If you can steal women, you can steal horses. Man falls for anything. But when it comes to the true Word of God, they cannot take the Word of God because of their traditions and their dogmas. And as I said a while ago, Jesus said, by your traditions, your interpretation of the Scriptures, Brother Branham said Jesus came according to Scripture, but not according to their understanding of it, so they threw it away. And now he said, you made it void. So people today are making void the literal rapture by turning down the vindicated revelation of it. Now, if you want to know what it is, Brother Branham preached the rapture tape. It won't convince you, perhaps, but it's all laid out there in a fantastic way. Everything can be taken right to the Word of God, word by word, what he said. But people aren't going to believe it because it isn't in their own little black book. And I want to tell you what, brother, sister, you got a little black book, you got a little black heart. Your own little black book. No. I know people don't like talk like that. They don't like the idea to say, well, what makes you think that you're not organized? I'm not organized. I went all through organization. They tried to tell me what I was supposed to believe, but I couldn't take it. When I saw the prophet, that was an entirely different story. Something in my heart said, if you ever believed anybody, that's the person you will believe. And I've hung on to that all these years, and I do not intend to let it go. Okay, you understand then why we talk about Brother Branham? We do not glorify him. We do not make him the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't worship him. We don't go to him in prayer or anything else. We just believe he was a prophet, the same as Moses, the same as the other prophets, the same as the Apostle Paul, who, when he tried to, they tried to worship him, he said, no way do you worship me, you'll worship God, because no worship comes to me, so forget it. Neither Brother Branham accept worship. A woman fell down at his feet to worship him, called him the Lord Jesus Christ. For her effort, he went into a nervous breakdown. If he'd have been the maniac that people thought he was, the egotist that made people thought he was, he'd have said, hey, they finally recognize me. That happened to this guy named Habak Agapian down there in Miami. A woman just merely thought when she was in his house, he was dressed in his long robe, very handsome guy, nice curly beard and nice long black hair, and a very nice handsome boy. And he had this solid white robe on, a kind of a golden girdle around his waist thing, you know. And this woman just thought in her house, she said, now listen, isn't this just like the time that Jesus was in the house of Mary and Martha? And he said, Sister Anderson, you're the first one who recognized me. Well, I can tell you his whole history. I won't bother. Well, he got sued in the law court and everything else. I wonder what he did when he ditched the old gal to get himself a younger woman. I wonder what she did. I think she cut off the paycheck. Yeah. That's no worse than the fellow that was in, they called him Prophet Jones in Detroit. Yeah. Wore the white mink coat. Yeah, it's no different than Pentecostals who turned down the revealed word of God based upon vindication because they have a few miracles. Judas had miracles too. Where does that leave the people? Oh, it's a hard and narrow road. The ark has a small door, and God's in full charge of the gangplank and the door. And Noah found out in a hurry that once that door was shut, there was only one entrance to light, and that was looking up. He never got scared. No. He never got, and he was so busy, bless God, taking care of what God wanted taken care of, he didn't have any time to worry about anything except just relax with the little ministry God gave him, and he wrote out the flood, came right down to earth, a picture of what we're going to go through by the grace of God, or somebody is if we don't. All right, a brother asked the question over here. Is this a letter that came in? He said, is the person in Revelation 19:10 the same angel? Which would be messenger in Revelation 1:22-8-9? Well, we can take a little look at it. And the reason he asked this is because there's a quote in the from Brother Branham. And the man says, some have preached that they're all the same person. That is Brother Branham. Now, there, I think they may be arrogating to Brother Branham something that Brother Branham didn't say. So we're going to go right to Revelation 19, and this is about the John there. After seeing the marriage of the Lamb and those things, he fell at the feet at that person to worship him. And he said to him, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so the question came up, is Revelation 1:1, and you what that is. Now that's that revelation Jesus that God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and sent and signified it by his messenger, his angel, unto his servant John. Well, that sounds very good. And then over in Revelation 22:8-9. And it says here, and I saw and see these things, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the messenger. The angel showed me these things. And he said, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, thy brethren, the prophets, and them which keep the saying, this book, worship God. Now, there are those that believe this is actually a picture of what Brother Branham was to go through at the end time when this book was to be opened. And so we have a revelation of Jesus Christ which God sent unto him. And this, of course, is to the seven churches in Asia Minor which have to do with the Gentiles. So this would be strictly then a revelation to the Gentiles that they may know their correct and perfect position, and the events of the end time, the revelation of God that God was giving, particularly the Lord Jesus Christ, And then, of course, it would also include what the Apostle Paul mentioned of Israel back in the homeland and God dealing with them because they had been blinded for these last two centuries. And remember, Paul also says at that time, when Israel's back in the homeland, wherein God had dealt with not dealt with them because of blindness for 2,000 years, and he speaks of the resurrection. I've warned you before, you must never consider a blind man dead. A blind man is a blind man. And that's what Israel is. God has not thrown away his elect. There's always been some elect coming in at the end time. The last group comes in, 144,000, out of those 12 tribes that are numbered. You notice they're not, they're in their actual order the way God wants them. And they will be from the tribes according to the word of God. Now, so we're looking at this particular picture here where they're putting all three together. And they're saying, all right, this is a prophet. Two places it mentions prophet and one place over here. So you can run them together and say, well, without a doubt, that's what I look at it. Brother Branham never did delineate upon it. He never took the three together. But having let us know thoroughly that truly this was a prophet that had brought the word of God, the time of John, we see that the brethren are taking this into good consideration, that this could well be the very same person. But to say that this is a picture of Brother Branham and say it as though this is something you must believe, this is something I cannot agree with because I do not have a word on it, any vindication whatsoever, that this is actually the truth. They said, well, Brother, this was John saw Brother Branham's theophany. Well, now there again, how do you know? That's speculation. So if you wanted to put this on Brother Branham, I think you could be far-fetched. I think perhaps maybe not. I don't have an answer for it. Now, what they're looking at that particular time, Brother Branham made a little mention in church order over here. It's page 127. The first thing I would say, according to the rules of the church in the Old Testament, or New Testament rather, so this is New Testament rules. At the first place, the people entered into the church of God in a spirit of worship, and they walked in, hymns were sung. Maybe the preacher would speak, for he was a prophet of the church. Now, watch what Brother Branham says here. A New Testament prophet is a preacher. We know that. The testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy, said the book of Revelation. Now, you know and I know that Brother Branham used this as a definitive statement in a definitive place. This is not the definitive statement of how the Word of God comes. No way, shape, and form. You notice he's talking about a preacher who in the New Testament is called simply a preacher. And he says the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Now, to look this over and get a little good picture of it, we go to 1 John. This is the book of, this is the epistle. And we read in the 4th chapter, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, Brother Branham has said here, you go to the church and of God in a spirit of worship. Okay. Then he says here that this man is an ordinary preacher, and he is preaching, and it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that is coming forth from this man in that group, who is the elder, pastor, whatever. Now, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Now, all right, now, it says here, John is going to delineate and show a way that you can try whether the Spirit is of God or not. It's just like in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and Brother Branham said you can tell what the thing is by the nature of it. Well, what was God doing? Creating and doing all these things that we see today. Actually, he's responsible for the lights because he laid the laws down that they could be here. He's responsible for the air conditioning, responsible for the heating of the city. He's responsible for everything because it all lay in there. And he said, now, man, you take over and you work a good work. Well, the devil snuck in there and he just messed everything up. But actually, everything you see is a product of what was from God in the beginning. And so you can tell that it has to be God that did that. Like, for instance, you see people being healed. The devil doesn't heal. So it's got to be God who is doing it. The devil can't raise the dead. If the dead is raised, it's got to be God. There are things in Scripture that are very clearly outlined as to what God does. And you can tell that, see? Now, when you come to preaching, there's something in there that will give you a clue, too. So you don't get off on the wrong track. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come. And now already is in the world. All right, now, this is a statement that's pretty flat. Let's go down and try to learn a little more about it. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome what? Those that have the wrong spirit. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So you've got something in you now that's greater than what is out there in the world that can fool the world. Now remember, what is a false prophet? A false prophet is a guy that has a sign and a wonder, but twists the word of God. Now there cannot be a false prophet unless there's a true prophet. The true prophet lays the word of God out. And before he lays it out, he's got signs and wonders that prove that he is vindicated. Jesus began to do and to teach. Paul says the same thing about him in chapter 15 of the book of Romans. So vindication is part of the whole thing. Now the man that's a false prophet, he comes behind because the word says there's going to be healings and miracles and things come out of the word. Right? Because it's the same spirit. So what this man does can get anointing, and he can show signs and wonders, but he perverts the word. He takes the people away. Now, whether you like that or not, that's the truth. You just can't say, well, Brother Vale, I got signs and wonders in my life. Bless God, I know that I'm a true person. Hogwash. Judas then was not the son of perdition. He was told to heal the sick and raise the dead, and he did it. Now, how did he do it? He did it by the power of God because all power is of God. The devil doesn't have any. It's a delegated power, but it's still the power of God. The Bible tells us all power is of God. And all things are pure to the pure in heart. Now, if Adam hadn't got his wires all mixed up and Eve with him, we wouldn't have a bit of trouble. But we got this trouble. Okay, let's keep reading. Now they are of the world, therefore speak ye of the world, and the world hears them. Now watch. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now that lays it right out there in the whole thing. What you watch for is you try the spirits by the word. And John was authentic because he was with Jesus. See? He had learned from him who was the prophet, because Jesus was that prophet. So just keep that in mind. Now, we go to the 13th verse. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given of his spirit. Now, what does that spirit in you come in conflict with the spirit of the other fellow? Because one will stay with the word, and the other will twist the word. They already had done that in the time of the Apostle Paul. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, I espouse you to Christ as a virtuous virgin, a bride unto the Lord. But he said, now he said, I know that the Satan has crept in and he has confused your mind. You are off the word. You are no longer a virgin. So therefore, a person that is outside the pale of God, the limits of God, are those that are outside of the word. Now, a lot of people come to a church and they hear the word of God and they say, oh, that's terrible. They're dead in here. Oh, my, my. Well, listen. You are trying to judge the word by the spirit instead of judging the spirit by the word. It's always judging spirit by word, or you'll fall flat on your face. You go to another church, and there's a greater spirit and a greater good time. Oh, you better feel there. And you can end up like a poor woman in Pentecost. I mean, she's down there in Tampa area, St. Petersburg. And you know, she real old Pentecostal, oh, blessed heart. I got no problem with the old girl. But she told me how that her nephew had to got in touch with his mother. And he knew that it was mother because that spirit told him everything that would happen to him, and through and it was his mother. And so, well, I'll turn the clip over and I'll continue the story. So anyway, she got so carried away with this boy, she said, Brother Bill, she said, I wouldn't put my hand on it. She said, I believe that he could have something deeper. I said, yes, sister, as deep as hell itself. The boy is in spiritism. And this was more tempting and appealing than the Word. Boy, I've been booed out of Pentecostal churches for preaching the Word. That's why I never go back. Forget it. You can't tell them anything. No, because they got a hipper on, a shout, and they feel good. Well, I could say some very naughty things right there, but I'm not going to do it. All right, let's go further now. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians. Just save you. You can have your own thoughts what I was going to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're talking what Brother Branham said here about a preacher being as a prophet. See? Now, in verse 32, it says in 32, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Then in verse 36, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, that I write unto you, are the commandments of the Lord. So what is he saying here? He's telling you that any minister, I don't care what he is, an ordinary fivefold prophet ministry, minister, or a pastor, a teacher, an elder, an apostle, I don't care who he is, fivefold and two more added, making the perfection of God, were in the last two lies, fallibility. Those that want to teach. Elders and deacons, making them up. Now, look at it. He said, if you are spiritual, or one of the fivefold, he said, you will know positively that my word is the word of God. Why? That's the Spirit of Christ in them, witnessing to it. Of course, it goes deeper in some areas than other areas. But that's what I am looking at here. And I cannot see that what we are seeing here is what they want to attribute to Brother Branham, because Brother Branham did not attribute anything to himself, even along the very line of Revelation 10, 1-7. When I talked to Brother Branham about that, let me get it for you here. And verse 8 goes on and said, I heard a voice, then again, open the book in your hand, and so on, and it'll be, eat it up, it'll be bitter in your belly, sweet as honey. And I said, Brother Branham, is that talking about you? And he said, no, it's not talking about me. He said, that's the word. That's just what God's doing. So in my estimation here, I'll just be honest, I would not associate Brother Branham with that any different from what I see, what Brother Branham said right here. Just leave it. It's enough that you understand that this word that was vindicated to the extent that it'd be just like a repeat of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who was worthy of worship, is on the scene at this hour. Now, let's go a little bit further. I'm going to take you back. Maybe we'll just close off with this because I've got 45 minutes heaped on you already. I won't take too terrible long. Revelation, first chapter. Now, you know that everything has got to come by a prophet. So, all right, who bear record of the word of God, verse 3, and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things he saw, blessed he that readeth, and so on. And go right on down, 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 until you come to the place where he's going to talk this whole thing to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Now, in verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, Brother Branham explained that. He said, the voice that John turned to see. No, you can't see a voice. But he wanted to see if it was a scriptural voice. In other words, I'm going to look. But I've already told the people, hey, don't get fooled by spirits. Nope. Check every spirit by the word. And that's what John was doing. So he turned to see the voice. And lo and behold, he saw something. So he sees the author of the voice. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto a son of man, doesn't say the son of man, it's in the Greek, is one like unto a son of man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now you know that what you're looking at there is the fact that Ezekiel was a son of man, which was a prophet, and Revelation 22, 8 and 9, which we saw, the prophet was standing there, and John said, I'm going to worship. He said, no, no, you can't do it. You cannot do that. Worship belongs unto Almighty God. Same thing we saw in the 19th chapter. We see that very, very evident. It has to do then with this person being a prophet. Now, one of the offices of Jesus Christ and the original office that was ascribed to him under Moses. Now, not under the seed in the Garden of Eden. It would be the same person. But this would be a further understanding, a further description, a further delineation, a further revelation of what we're dealing with. Thy seed shall bruise the serpent's head. And he's going to bruise the Messiah's heel. Now, under Moses, it came to the place the prophet will raise up a the Lord will raise up a prophet like unto me, and him you will hear in everything he says, or you'll be utterly destroyed. The same thing goes for the end times in the book of Acts. All that the time of restoration, and restoration can only come by Elijah, so therefore Elijah being a prophet, his spirit has to be here, his nature, the whole thing, and end of that revelation it tells you that those that don't hear, because this is God. Remember, God only deals with people through people. That's why Jesus was a people. Come on, face it. Don't try to change things, brother, sister, and say, oh, bless God, I can read the Bible, I got it all. Go ahead. The Jews thought they could too. They got so smart, they said to Sanhedrin, bless God, when God gets in trouble, he talks to us, and we'll give him the answer. He said, what arrogance! Don't you think the Pope does the same thing and the presbyters of the Protestants? Come on! They don't want a prophet. See? So, all right here. We're looking at this one here. Now, notice, like unto a son of man. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he was the son of man. Not a son of man, the son of man. And what was the son of man? Prophet. And the son of man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And how could he do it unless he was a prophet? Because only a prophet can speak for God. Right. Now, listen. This revelation that John further saw was of a judge. See, sure he was. But it's the prophet we're looking at. Now, so you can understand here, as I'm looking at this picture, that at the very end time, when God gives the final revelation of his spirit, Messiah, when he gives the total revelation to the church, which will have to be Gentile, then the same message going to Israel after the Gentiles are gone. I'm looking at this in the light that we are seeing a prophet, and what we're actually seeing and hearing is the word of Almighty God, the voice of Almighty God coming to us. Now, you can do anything you want with this. I'm speaking merely from my understanding of what Brother Branham taught us. I'm speaking from only what I know in this situation where he did not say anything concerning himself, that this was a picture of himself coming on the scene. I know that Brother Branham, as being a prophet, was God to the people. Because he didn't mean he was God. It simply means that he took the place of God at that particular time. The same as when you give a testimony to somebody, you take the place of God to that person you're talking to. But you're not vindicated. You don't have that particular office. But this one, Jesus did have that. And at the end time, Brother Branham coming on the scene became the voice of Almighty God to the people. And that's pretty well how I look at the situation. Many more things I could say, look into notes and all, and try to bring this further to your attention. But what the brother here is looking at the picture and saying, well, this has to be Brother Branham. And it doesn't have to be Brother Branham. Even though it is, I said, it's a beautiful picture of the man and his ministry, if you want to put it that way. But unless it was told to us We cannot say it was. We must leave it just the way it was. And I'm looking at it from the fact, bringing out here, of the prophet before the judge. Remember, Jesus was given power to be the judge when he was that prophet and had done all the work was incumbent upon him. What I'm looking at here is the ministry that has come down at the end time. The very same ministry replicated that he had in the beginning, where it tells you in the book of Matthew, but I prefer the 12th chapter rather than the 4th of Matthew. Look at it so you get a little more idea what I'm talking about. Where it tells you here that Jesus Christ did these mighty wonderful works, and it's in the 15th verse. They accused him. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? In other words, they turned down the vindication that he had amongst them. And he said, now just a minute, why are you getting days and things all mixed up on the fact of what God does and what God wants to do? If you have a sheep fall in the ditch on the Sabbath day, don't you pick it out of the ditch? They said, well, sure. Well, he said, isn't a man better than a sheep? Therefore, what you're doing for man, which is good, which is necessary, which is part of the Word of God, you do it all the time. There is no day that stops you doing it. Now, you see, they put a day ahead of what God himself wanted to do. So they held a council to destroy him. Why? Because this man had vindication. And when they couldn't match the vindication, they said, let's get rid of him. So what do you think they're doing today? They're going to get rid of the church. That's the bride. So he withdrew himself and charged he should not make it known, which that it might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my soul is well pleased, I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. The bruised reed shall he not break, the smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. I want to ask you a question. Is not this the same as over there in the book of Genesis when God came down to Abraham in the plains of Mamre when Sarah was in the tent and he read her heart and she lied? Is not this the same thing when Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the fire came down at the time of at Sodom and Gomorrah. But is it not also true that the judge of all the earth had come to tell Abraham, this is the time that your wife is going to conceive and bring forth that child of promise and flesh? Now, when did that happen? That happened, the fire fell upon the cursed Gentiles who were completely immersed in homosexuality. And there was one righteous man there, and Abraham the prophet was outside the entire situation. What I'm trying to show you is here that the judgment comes to the Gentiles. You have to have a repeat of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, or it doesn't cut. Now watch what it says. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. Now that didn't happen in Jerusalem because he strove and he cried and he raised his voice. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Well, he broke the bruised reed. There's no way Israel can have a sacrifice anymore, a proper sacrifice, because the ashes, the red heifer are missing. They can't do it. The bruised reed, he's broken. There's no religious worship that God allows anymore. But listen, when he went to Abraham, it wasn't that way. It was a presentation of the Son who would rule at the type, who would rule the world. Now you got the same thing right today. It rings 100% true. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And what does it mean for the Gentiles to trust in his name? It tells you in John 3. The word has been proven to be correct. And that's the only way you have any access to any name. So I don't see it that way. You don't have to see it that way. The Bible says it. I'm not trying to convince you on something. Read it for yourself. I never saw any of this, never had any time for any of this until Brother Branham came on the scene and brought forth a vindication by the word of Almighty God. All right. We'll take number 3 question here because this is going to be easier than dwelling with number 2 question. This brother says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 to 2. Here it is. Now we beseech your brethren by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the presence. and by our gathering together unto him. So that's got to be the time that there's a gathering, which would mean simply at the time of the rapture. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. All right, this brother says, some people have been preaching on this scripture that the falling away of verse 3 was in Paul's day, not our day. Yet we know that Brother Branham said on the tape, he talks about me saying, does God change his word, his mind about his word? The falling away was now. Also, Brother Branham said it was now. On volume 2, volume 2.25, page 56, and the first seal, page 129 to 170, second seal, 191 to 212, Daniel 70 the week and plus more. When did the falling away take place? Now, you see, let me tell you where this brother has a problem. This brother has a problem because he doesn't understand Alpha and Omega. Now, he says he does, evidently, but he doesn't. Because if you understand Alpha and Omega, you know there's no such thing as a harvest without a seed. So, therefore, there had to be a planting for the harvest. When did the planting take place? At the time of Paul. So the falling away was started in the first church age. The Ephesian age had lost its first love. And in 2 Corinthians, we quoted it this morning superficially, but let's get into it where it's quoted 100% from the Word of God. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, and his fears were justified, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, and they did, whom we have not preached, if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, and they did, or another gospel, and they did. In the very church, first church age, they fell for three terrible things. Another Jesus, another spirit, another word. Now, after 2,000 years, we're getting the harvest. And the falling away is today in harvest. What was in a period of moving up? See? Took them into a harvest. From the seed, to the sprout, to the first little leaf, to the stem, to the forming where the seed would grow on it. And remember, let's face it, when you plant one seed, you would have to be a fool not to expect a whole lot more seeds back. That's right. That's why when the original seed Christ fell on the ground, there's going to be a multitude of born-agains. And so it is here. The brother does not understand that Alpha is Omega. What goes into the ground must come up into full fruitage. And so therefore we are at the harvest of the falling away. It just doesn't happen instantaneously. Nothing happens instantaneously. It's been going on for 2,000 solid years. As Jesus said, if they do this in the green tree, what will they do in the dry? Hey, if a green tree forest can go boom in a flash fire, what does a dry forest do? Oh, man, you haven't got a prayer. So that's the brother here. I'm sure that there's nobody that doesn't understand Alpha and Omega. See, look at it. It's the same as John, 1 John, the 4th chapter over again. Believe not every spirit. Try the spirits, whether they have God. Many false prophets are gone in the world. And Peter said many false teachers are out there teaching right with them. Oh, yes, sir. That's why the chaff is burned. And what is the chaff? It's the last thing before the fruit. Now, what great denomination is before the end time? Charismatic. So, Brother Vail, they got to make the rapture. God says they burn. See, that's how much you know God in the Bible. So, you got a mean heart. Blame it on to God. I'm just quoting it.
Next thing you're going to say, well, I believe in universalism, that Jesus and the devil are going to go hand in hand down the streets of glory. Hallelujah. Just because a smart guy like Booth Cliburn believed that, don't you believe it? He wasn't so smart. Jesus only is not scriptural. Neither two gods and three gods. There's only one God. Now, you know the Spirit of God. And tells you right here, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and error. Now, at the end time, what do you got? You've got this thing here coming to see. They weren't listening back in John's day. Now, let us just say, for the not the sake of argument, for reality's sake, Elijah comes at the end time and restores everything spoken by the mouth of God. For what? The period in which he's coming. The full revelation, that which is perfect, comes at the end time. Used to know in part. You don't know in part anymore. You know the whole thing that's laid out there. The seals are open. The thunders of thunder. Paul the Apostle said, my message, thoroughly understood at the end time. That's what's going to save, is the gospel I preach. But it's been, one fellow said, well, I take the gospel of Paul. I believe you can fall away. That other fellow said, I take the gospel of Paul. You can't fall away. Now we've got two guys arguing. Well, let's have a fight. Well, words aren't going to do it. Just get mad and walk off. Let's get guns. Then you can blast them. Well, that's the only way. Why fool with it? I've got news for you. God does the same thing. When his vindicated word comes at the end time, the blessing goes to the bride, the rest are in judgment. You prove me wrong. You can't do it. Your Bible's full of it. What's wrong with people? They will not recognize the laws that God laid down. And I get blasted from around the world because I do. I'll stand, I hope, like a rock before God. Now you say, well, rocks can melt. Yes, they can melt. I believe that. Yeah, I know. I know. I'm kidding myself. I'm not pretending I'm vindicated. Now this brother shouldn't. I believe the problem where this came from is he has forgotten to take in consideration the old saying, what goes up must come down. What goes out must come around. If you plant a seed, don't think you're not going to reap. Even the Chinese had a saying for it. You can't keep the birds from flying in the tree, but you can sure stop them from building a nest. That's what happened in the church in Paul's day. You open up the mind and the ears. They didn't turn to see if it was a scriptural voice. They turned on John, they turned on Paul, they turned on Peter. And that's where the seed started, right there. Come on. Where did those seeds come from when Jesus said, tares and thistles and briars are going to come up now? He never created them. They're already lying in there. What happened? Adam and Eve gave them a climate. Sprung up. This church has the same privilege. Same privilege. This word of God lays here in the vindicated prophet. What climate are you going to bring to the surface? Big difference. Are you a heart of faith receiving it? You know, I've got nothing to give you. I can make a better stew than I'm a preacher, because I just got to parrot Brother Branham if I possibly can. By the grace of God, I think that's a tremendous privilege. Tremendous privilege. But where do you stand this morning? Where do we stand? A heart of faith through his word? Not looking for our own ideas, but say, oh God, what did he say? What's this all about? You can stand right there with the word of God that's invincible. That's our privilege, and that's our joy. Let's stand and be dismissed. Now, our kind Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your goodness to us, your kind love. How that you yourself made sure we had a propitiation. At the same time, Lord, you made sure that you yourself fully recognized as to your glory and your potentiality and all the things that lie in you. So, Lord, one day at the end time, when it's all gone through and all these things necessary to show forth your greatness, your integrity, your marvelous grace, and all those things that lie within your godhoodedness, your essentiality and intrinsicality, Lord, one day we'll see it even greater still, but we thank you we've seen a measure and entered into what you want, not what we want. And Lord, our only
problem this morning is that though we have entered in behind the veil in the truth and into Christ in these respects here, we just are not deep enough in you with that same love she had brought in our hearts, the same gentility, the same virtues that we have seen lying in the Word and then presented to us in the life abundant coming forth. Father, we look at ourselves and this is where we fail, but we must look to you and not look at ourselves any longer, but to look to you and your Word and say, I'm standing with that. And that's what Paul did, Lord. We know that David had to do it. He was brought right to the place. Do I believe my own vindicated psalms? Do I believe them? He believed them. Even one day crying out against his soul, soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. We're like that this morning, Lord. We want to not just bask in the sunshine of your revelation, but to have the inner glowing light within us, Lord, to shine forth as vessels in love and in kindness, but never deviate from your word, Lord. Never deviate. It was a sword to us, Lord, but it was a sword of circumcision, a sword of goodness, separating the evil from righteousness, the darkness from light. God, help us to ever have that in mind as we would wield the sword of the Lord, not trying to hurt anybody, but by the blessings that you alone can confer upon us. Help people, Lord, by giving forth the word of testimony wherein there's life and all that you have in this hour. Heal the sick among us, Lord. We still pray for healing. We know, Lord, it's not only available as far as healing is concerned. Miracles are available. Even to the raising of the dead, we don't deny these things, Lord, except to our shame we say we don't see enough of it. May we be encouraged, Lord, to go the whole way to see the wholeness of what was set forth at the end time, to proclaim it, to believe it, wherever we can, to minister and be ministered to through the goodness and grace of God. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus.